Welcome to another message from God's Word. We're studying the book of Acts. And we're in the fifth chapter of the book of Acts. Verse about number 29. Before we begin, we're teaching the book of Acts from the Greek language. You're learning Greek by induction, and that means the painless way of learning Greek. If you follow along with me in a Greek interlinear, after a year or so of this, or maybe not that long, if you study two or three classes a week, I could say within 6 months you could read Greek. And you will begin to learn some of the grammar, because I bring that out. I don't really emphasize it, but you will learn it. And there are some very beautiful things from the original language that just isn't in the translation. I almost always read the Amplified Bible afterward, because the Amplified Bible explains it a little bit. But when you got the Greek and the text there, and then the Amplified Bible too, you have got a real resource, a treasure house of God's Word. 5 and 29. Now, let's catching up to what happened here is that the leadership of the Jewish nation has pretty much rejected Jesus Christ. Almost 100%. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, we know that they believed, but not very many others. Some of the Romans believed. The common men, many believed. And we're going to go back to the Acts, the second chapter also, after we read this, because it's very pertinent, the personalities of the people, to show a contrast of people's hearts. In 5 and 29, it says, Apokrithes de Petros, kai hoi apostoloi, epen pe tharkein de theo malon e anthropois. Moreover, having answered, now, the Jews had beaten the apostles, had locked them up in jail. They threatened them not to preach in Jesus' name. They told them, you're trying to bring his blood upon us and the guilt upon us. And if you remember right there, in the Gospels, they said, Pontius Pilate said, I am guiltless, I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. How many millions of Jews have died because of what they did there? What they said there. And yet they tried to wiggle out of it over and over again. The Romans crucified him. The Romans did not want to crucify him. Pontius Pilate refused five times. He said, this man is innocent of the charges you brought against him. Kill him, kill him, kill him. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. The most horrible death, they demanded. Having answered, moreover, Peter and the apostles, they said, to obey, it is bindingly necessary to obey to God rather than men. We will answer to God, and we must obey God rather than men. That's the story. That's what the Bible says, obey God rather than men. Get along with mankind, get along with human governments as much as you can. But when it comes to the Word of God, you must obey God rather than men. How many years did the Catholic Church enforce baptism? Enforce the Catholic Church state upon humanity and kill between 50 and 100 million Christians? Islam came along right in the footsteps of Catholicism. Right back, if we looked up here to our church history chart, when Muhammad born in 670 AD, by the time of 732 AD, the Muslim disease was spreading all over the Middle East. They'd copycatted Catholicism and conquering by the sword. plunder, rape, and murder incorporated on both sides. Just read it, people. Islam and Catholicism are kissing cousins, people. The Reformation clipped the wings of Catholicism, or it would be just exactly like it was in the Dark Ages. In Islam, nothing has slowed that down. Nothing. Having answered Peter with apostles, they all said in accord with one voice, "It is bindingly necessary," that word "they" there, third person singular, impersonal verb, "it is and constantly is bindingly necessary rather to obey God than man." It's absolutely bindingly necessary. Now let's see what the reaction to all of this is after Peter leads out and speaks. Ho de, ho theos, ton patron, himon, egeren, esun, hon, hemes, dier ke resaste, crema santes, epi zilon. The fathers, the God of our fathers, raised Jesus, whom you murdered, whom you manhandled, you slaughtered, having hung him upon a tree. Now the Jews said, we didn't do that. We didn't do that. Yes, they did. They demanded it to be done. They couldn't exact capital punishment in this case. They killed Stephen in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. They murdered him without the consent of the Roman government. And here, they wanted to be legally free from it. They went according to the judicial system of the day when it was convenient. Whom ye slayed for yourselves, for your own purpose. Look at that word there. Diakeraste. It has the word "have slayed," knifed with your own hands. The word "hand" is in there. You manhandled, you slaughtered. Second person plural, first aorist indicative. First aorist is punctually active. They did it on the cross once, unlike Catholicism that keeps on slaughtering Jesus all the time in every Mass and transubstantiation. Indicative mode, a statement of fact, and middle voice, they did it because they wanted to. From personal, direct middle voice, volition. They were murderers. The Bible says in the law of God, in the law of the kingdom, it says in Hebrew, you shall not keep on lying while consecutive and perfect. You shall not keep on committing adultery while consecutive and perfect. Ye shall not keep on bearing false witness while consecutive and perfect. And you shall not keep on murdering, slaying, while consecutive, imperfect, the Hebrew tense. Call, while consecutive, imperfect. They kept on doing it. And they didn't stop. Here they're doing it some more, and they keep on lying too. You hung upon a tree. 531. Tuto ho theos archegon kai sotera. Keeps osen te dexia autu dune, and some of them have two dune, metanoion to Israel kai aphason hamartion. And this God, the ruler and savior, he has exalted. in the right side of him, to give repentance, metanoia. That means completely change your mind, people. Change your whole attitude. Change your whole physical outlook on everything. When you repent, it changes you. You're changed. To give repentance to Israel and aphason hamartion, and the forgiveness and the sending away of sins. Jesus was our scapegoat. Our sins were put upon Him, the innocent scapegoat. He was the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. He was our Goel, our kinsman redeemer, our relative who redeemed us. He is our Savior. Pharaoh named Joseph Ho Sotera, Ho Cosmu, Ho Soterios to Cosmu, the Savior of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. These people did not want to believe. They still don't want to believe. How many millions of Jews in the Holocaust? How many millions of Jews were slaughtered all over Europe because of them and what they did? The whole Jewish nation was taken down because of the Sicarii, the assassins, the zealots. Two zealots were part of Jesus' church. Simon the Zealot and Peter, not Peter, but Judas Iscariot. Simon the Zealot and Judas Iscariot. Both of them were Sicarii. They were assassins. They were the people that used Herod's fortress at Masada for a getaway place, for a what we might call the robber's roost. They were robbing people, killing people, murdering people, kidnapping people, extorting money from people. And one of the leaders of them was Barabbas, who was going to be crucified. And they had Jesus crucified in that murderous leader's place. And then the murderous leader went on with the rest of the Sicarii to bring down the nation of Israel and not leave one stone upon another because of what happened. The 10th Roman Legion besieged Masada. You heard the story. And they always say, and never another Masada. There's been a lot of Masadas. The Holocaust was a Masada. All over Europe, they looked down at down their noses at the Jewish people. Many of the Jewish mothers trained their daughters to be prostitutes, courtesans. To marry into and seduce the kings and princes of the land so that the people could have a safe place and they would look the other way. Yes, that happened. Look it up. That famous American actress was one of them. God gives repentance as a gift to those that will believe. 5 and verse 32. Kai hemeth esmen, matires ton, hamaton, tuto, kai to numa, to hagio, hagion that is, ha edoken, hothios tolis, bathar kusen auto. And we are witnesses. We are martyrs, is what he said. And they would be martyrs. Peter was going to be crucified upside down, you know, according to legend. We are witnesses and martyrs of the words, the statements of the edicts, of the flowings, of the indictments, these. And the Holy Spirit, which He gave the God to the ones obeying, being persuaded. That means the word to persuade there. To him. Pytharkeo. The one being persuaded. To obey is a result of repentance. To obey and repent is by the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit wooing you. You can't be saved without the Holy Spirit giving you faith and belief and repentance. This word here, it means to obey, to be the rulers to obey, is what it means. It means the rulers are supposed to obey. The big shots are supposed to obey. The big shots are supposed to repent. When the kings repent, the populace, the laity, is safer in the world. Society, the rulers of society, society owes its constituents justice. It's a privilege that we all have. We should all have justice and truth. If the rulers would have obeyed, it means to persuade the big shots. To obey one who has authority. Assurance from firm conviction and guarantee of knowledge. Now, here we have their answer. Here we have a state of mind. Here we have a state of wickedness. Here we have demonism in action. Ho de accusantes, dia trinonto, kai ebulonto, anele autos. But the ones having heard, they kept on being enraged. And they kept on being unwilling. They kept on being willing, that is, for themselves, to kill all of them. Thou shalt not keep on lying. Thou shalt not keep on stealing. Thou shalt not keep on killing. And they did. They wished. They kept on wishing to kill them. To slay them. Just like they had slain the Messiah, King of Israel. Now let's go back and let's look at a different group of people. Been the same place, but a different group of people. Acts, the second chapter. And it shall come to pass in the last day, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsel. And your young men shall see visions, that is, divinely granted appearances. And your old men shall dream divinely suggested hypnotic dreams. Yes, and my maidservants also, and my men servants and maidservants in those days, I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy, telling forth the divine counsels and predicting future events pertaining to, especially to God's kingdom. And here they are doing that. And I will show great wonders in the sky above and signs upon the earth beneath and blood and fire and smoking vapor. And the sun shall be darkened into darkness and the moon into blood before the obvious and day of the Lord comes. And that great and notable and conspicuous and renowned day. And it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, and invoking and adoring and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, shall be saved. You men of Israel, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man accredited to and pointed out and shown forth and commended and attested to you by God and by the mighty works and the power of performing wonders and signs which God worked through him, in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, when delivered up according to the definite and fixed and purposed and settled plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and put out of the way, killing him by the hands of lawless men. And they were supposed to be interpreters of the law. God raised him up, and he's sitting at the right hand and liberated him from the pangs of death, seeing that it was not possible for him to continue to be controlled or retained by it. For David says, in regard to him, I saw the Lord constantly before me, for he is at the right hand, that I may not be shaken and overthrown or cast down from my secure and happy state. Therefore, my heart rejoiced, my tongue exulted exceedingly. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope, and will encamp and pitch his tent and dwell on hope in anticipation of the Anastasia of the resurrection. For you will not abandon my soul, leaving it helpless in Hades, the state of and the place of departed spirits, nor let your Holy One know decay physically in the grave, the body of death. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will enrapture me, diffusing my soul with joy, and in your presence, brethren, it is permitted me to tell you confidently and with freedom concerning the patriarch David, that he both died and was buried, and that his tomb is with us unto this day. Being, however, a prophet, knowing that God had sealed him with an oath that he would set one of his descendants on the throne, and that is from Psalm 132 and verse 11. He, foreseeing this, spoke by the knowledge of the resurrection of Christ. And you go back to Jacob's words and talk about the lion of the tribe of Judah, that the scepter shall not depart from between his knees until Shiloh comes, until the Lord comes. Knowledge of the resurrection of the Christ, the Messiah, that he was not deserted in death, and left in Hades, the state of departed spirits, nor did his body know decay or see destruction. This Jesus God raised up, that all of his disciples are witnesses, being therefore lifted high by the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promised blessing, which is the Holy Spirit, he has made this outpouring, which you yourselves both see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, yet he himself said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand and share my throne, till I make your enemies your footstool for your feet. Therefore let the whole house of Israel recognize beyond all doubt and knowledge and acknowledge assuredly that God has made him both Lord and Christ, the Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. What did these people, what did they say? Let's kill him. Let's kill him. What did these people say? What did this group, this congregation say? Now when they heard this, they were stabbed down in their heart, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brethren, what shall we do? And Peter answered them, repent and change your views, and propose to accept the will of God in your inner souls, instead of rejecting it, and be baptized, every one of you, be dipped in the every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, because of the forgiveness of sins, and released from your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you, and for you, and your children, and to all, and for all that are far away, even to as many as the Lord our God invites and bids come to himself. And Peter solemnly and earnestly witnessed and testified, and admonished and exhorted with much more continuous speaking, and warned and reproved and advised and encouraged them, saying, be saved from this crooked, perverse, wicked generation. Therefore, those who had accepted and welcomed his message were baptized, were dipped. And they were added that day 3,000 saved souls. That's a different group than what's here. They heard and repented and believed. They admitted their guilt. They said, what must we do? And Peter said, every one of you repent. But those that have repented, let each one of you be dipped in the name of Jesus because of the forgiveness of sins. That message is to you today and to me. It has never changed. It's not by ways of religion that we come to God. It's by the death of His dear Son. It's not by the sacraments of the Catholic Church or the five prayers of Islam or anything else. Going out on Saturday with the Jehovah's Witnesses, believing the eternal secrets of the Masonic Lodge and the Mormons. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Our Father, we have sent this message out for your people. And I pray that you use your Spirit to convict them of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That you touch their lives and change their lives and give them happiness. And those that are lost or saved, Father, among lost people, please comfort them every day. Lost families, lost children, lost mothers, lost fathers, I pray that you help them to witness to them and that they witness by their lives and by their faith. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. I pray for all my students all over the world that you've given me. Touch their lives with your word. Bless them. And help them to be the kind of witnesses they ought to be in this dark time that we live in. In Jesus' name we pray. Please forgive me where I fail you.